The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. From Chuck to Angel to Firefly and now The Last Ship. Adam Baldwin's given us some great roles, and he talks about some of the roads that got him there and the new show on TNT everybody's talking about. Plus, Perennial TV helps Brooke Burns has a new passion. It's designing really cool cars. And she talks about the new show, Motor City Masters. All that, plus The Strain really grosses us out. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
Adam Baldwin has given us a lot of great roles over the past decade or so, from Buffy to Chuck, all the way, of course, to Firefly and a lot more. And now his latest series on TNT is The Last Ship. What's that about?
The premise of the show is stay alive, find the cure to a virus that's infected 80% of humanity and caused societal breakdown, and save the world. It all takes place from the central platform of a USS Navy guided missile destroyer, Nathan James. And the captain of the ship is played by Eric Dane. People will know him as McSteamy from Grey's Anatomy. He's my pal. He's our rock. He is a great leader. It's a great role for him. I think people are going to fall in love with him all over again. We also have a young cast of not only young actors who are in the business, but many people who played extra roles and smaller parts are from the U.S. Navy itself, so they gave us a great air of authenticity. It's been an honor and a privilege to work with the U.S. Navy. They've cooperated with us, given us technical advice, kept us on the straight and narrow. It's been a great learning experience. It's an exciting show.
Working next to Eric Dane, I ask Adam if his character was to be conflict or conscience for Eric.
Well, a little bit of both. It's executive officer, the XL aboard a ship, part of his role is to play devil's advocate, to make sure that the captain is making the right decision and that he has it set in his mind. He's a peer among peers when it comes to the officer corps, and his relationship with the captain is to, you know, challenge him at times. And obviously the captain has the final say, and that's kind of the relationship that we've developed thus far.
Adam's introduction into show business, well, was almost a Cinderella story. He was chosen from 4,000 actors to play the role of Ricky Linderman, the lead role in the 1980 feature film My Bodyguard.
Yeah, it was a kind of an open casting call, and I got the job. You know, I guess I was in the right place at the right time, and I was fortunate and blessed to have been hired on that job because it gave me a foot in the door into Hollywood, which is kind of tough to get into. And I've been doing it now for 35 years. I raised a beautiful family, have almost 26 years of marriage, and it's been quite a ride. So, yeah, Cinderella, that's me.
With all these great parts over the years, I ask Adam what he actually looks for when he chooses a project.
What I like to try to portray is what I like to call sniper funny. I like to play a bit of a dark, wry humor, because I think that's the way people are in general, at least good people, the people that I like. I grew up watching Clint Eastwood and Eli Wallach, Jason Robards, guys like that, Steve McQueen, and they always had this sort of knowing gallows humor. So if a character has that potential, I'm drawn to it. But ultimately, it comes down to, do the roles pick me? It's up to the network, up to Michael Bay, the producers, whether they did I fit. So it's a combination of both, but roles pick actors more so than actors pick roles, I think.
Adam has worked with some great directors and writers. Any interest in trying that himself?
Well, sure. Now that my kids are grown, I have a little more time. I always was standing aside while and we're working acting-wise because it provides me a little more time to spend with the wife and kids. That's been an important thing for me. Now that they're grown, empty nesting, I can get a little bit more into that. A friend of mine and I are developing a graphic novel that we hope we can turn into a movie or at least a video game franchise. And so it's fun to be stepping into that world now that we have a little extra time. And all I have to worry about are feeding the dogs and cats.
Of course, we had to ask the obvious question. Anything going on with Firefly?
Obviously, it's ultimately up to Joss Whedon. It's his baby, and if he wants to do something else with it, then I'm on board. But never say never. I think there. Hey, to me, it seems like a no-brainer to do a, an animated version or even a video game or something like that, I think that'd be great. But at this point, I haven't heard anything in stone, so I can neither confirm nor deny.
Catch new episodes of The Last Ship every Sunday on TNT and see more right now at TNTdrama.com. Let's catch up on the latest in pop culture. It must have been the eyeball worm that got him. Usually we're pretty blasé about what we see on our billboards, but those advertising the new FX series The Strain have caused a little bit of a problem in Hollywood, and negative social media has caused the network to pull the billboards. There's still teasers on the air, though, that show pretty much the same thing, but at least it's not staring us in the face when we're driving to work. The Strain debuts on FX coming up on July 13th. Netflix has announced their first original anime series to debut in just a few days. It's A Knights of Sidonia, 12 episodes based on the popular Japanese comic of the same name. You can grab all 12 episodes on Netflix anytime after July 4th. Not to let a good opportunity pass by, but Marvel has announced another Guardians of the Galaxy series, this time going back to the original characters that premiered in a Marvel comic back in 1969. The new series will be written by Dan Abnett, who's done a lot for the new Guardians as well, and will involve those original characters that include Vance Astro, Starhawk, and Charlie 27 as well. Guardians 3000 number 1 will be available in stores in October. It's set for lots more Pacific Rim, starting with a sequel to that movie. It's set now to be in theaters in April of 2017. Guillermo del Toro certainly attached to that. Zach Penn from X-Men The Last Stand will also be involved in writing the script for the sequel. Del Toro has also said there'll be an animated series in development based on Pacific Rim, and more original graphic novels, too, sometime over the next couple years as we build up to the release of the second movie.
Here's what's cool.
You'll get a little exercise at the comic stores this week. There's a lot to comb the shelves for, starting with a dollar version of Avatar Last Airbender Riff number 1, part of the bargain program they've been doing at Dark Horse to get you involved with some of their titles. A little more expensive is the Frank Miller Art of Sin City trade paperback out in time for the movie at just about $25. And a book that reprints one of the most probably overlooked works of Will Eisner from the late 40s. Along with some of his collaborators, it was a strip called Dr. Drew. And the secret files of Dr. Drew all collected in one hardcover this week from Dark Horse. At DC, Doomed continues as the story arc in Action Comics number 33. There's a brand new Harlan Ellison trade paperback with work by Paul Chadwick as well, called Harlan Ellison 7 Against Chaos. Harley Quinn number 2 gets a fourth printing too from DC. Over at IDW, Indestructible gets collected into a trade paperback, so you can catch up on that and decide if you want to pick up the series on a regular basis. If you do, number 7 is out this week. Weird Love number 1 gets a second printing, and Weird Love number 2 comes out this week. Over at Image, July gets hotter with a Black Kiss Christmas in July one-shot special by Howard Jakin. Nailbiter number 2 gets a second printing, and there's a new issue, Nailbiter number 3, out this week. Marvel begins their look at 100 years in their future with the 100th anniversary Fantastic Four special this week that gives you a look at where the FF would be in 2061. Avengers number 29 gets a second printing, as well as Avengers number 30, both original Sin tie-ins. And Magneto number 3 gets a second printing as well. And if you want a little history, well, the best place to go for that, of course, is with our friends at Tomorrow's and a couple of great Tomorrow's magazines out this week, Alter Ego number 126 and Back Issue number 73. Catch all these and more in a comic store near you. Maybe you're traveling for the 4th of July. Well, find out where the stores are where you are with the Comic Book Locator Service at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK. Or with a site called findacomicshop.com, or with a link on the front of comicmix.com as well. And be sure to check with the retailer to make sure that this week's 4th of July holiday doesn't cause a delay in next week's new Comics Day.
The point.
Over the past couple of years, Brooke Burns has hosted some pretty interesting game and reality shows. And now she's taking on the Motor City inside the world of car design in the new show, Motor City Masters. And she told me what this is all about.
Absolutely. Motor City Masters, not unlike Project Runway, is a design competition show. But Pure TV and Una Murray and Chevy came together to look for the next great American car designer. So that's really the goal of the series. And in the process, the winner wins $100,000 in a brand new Camaro Z28. So they had a lot of great motivation there on that side of it as well. But we start out with 10 car designers. Every episode, they have to do an individual challenge and then a group or a team build every 3 days, which was an incredibly daunting task, but fascinating to watch and see the product of their concept cars, you know, brought to life. And every episode, we eliminate one designer until we have, as we say, our next great Motor City Master.
There's an interesting twist with some guest judges this season, too.
Jim Jennings, who's our set standard judge, and also Harald Belker, two incredible minds in the car world that are really the experts on judging. And then we brought in celebrity judges based on the theme of our episode. So we have a Transformers episode, and we have a Hot Wheels episode, a NASCAR episode, a mom lifestyle vehicle episode. So we brought in celebrities who not only bring, you know, a little bit of excitement and obviously name value to each episode or to the show, but we also gave them an opportunity to talk about something that is, you know, unique, not talking about entertainment, not talking about their television shows or their movies, but each one of these celebrities has a true passion for cars or car design and some kind of, you know, it's married to their lives in some way, whether it was their father kind of taught them about it or their grandfather was a race car driver, whatever it was that kind of, you know, ignited this passion in them as well.
With so many competition, game, and reality shows out there, I asked Brooke how she picks the ones that she wants to work with.
I have been wanting to work with Buna Murray, the production company who brought us Project Runway, because of, obviously, their incredible success there, and they have great product that they put out. So we had been talking for a little while about what kind of project would be a good fit for both of us. And when they said, well, we have this car design competition show that we're doing, what do you think? I was like, why would you think of me for that? So I was a little surprised in the beginning, but very curious. And so when I went in to sit down and talk with them about it, it just really piqued my interest, mostly because there's so much trash in reality that I loved the idea of bringing these educated, extremely talented, smart individuals into the limelight of the TV world and really putting a spotlight on their genuine creativity, imagination, design, talent. So that to me was very interesting. And these are people who are, you know, talking about the thing that they love and that they're passionate about and that they're knowledgeable about. So for me, it was an education in car design and car build, you know?
Right.
And yeah, so that was really a big part of the reason that I chose to host the show.
So with so much experience in this form of TV, I asked Brooke if there was anything in her own life she had a passion about that she might think, well, would make a good game, reality, or competition show.
I think my life is way too boring outside of my work to create a reality show. I tried that one time and they were like, you know, your friends are too nice and you guys love each other too much. So there wasn't a lot of drama. But definitely, I think when you work in this field, your brain kind of starts piecing together like, oh, what are these ideas, you know, over here? Or that would be interesting. Or, you know, thinking about pitching your own ideas as well. But for right now, I'm just really enjoying hosting and being a mom.
With roles on TV on Ally McBeal and in the movies in Shallow Hal, Brooke has also been an actress, and I asked her if she was going to return to that side of the business anytime soon.
You know, people ask me, oh, do you like acting or hosting better? And for me, I just love working. I love, you know, they're two completely different worlds. Obviously, as a host, I get to be much more myself. I love the improvisational aspect of it and really getting to connect and communicate with the contestants in a very real way. Acting is a bit more of like a fantasy splurge kind of hobby for me. Obviously, getting to put yourself in a position of playing a serial killer or playing something that, you know, getting to do an occupation, you know, I've played everything, as you know, from a lifeguard to dolphin trainer to, you know, a doctor, a scientist. So you get to kind of dip your toe into those worlds for 3 months at a time, and That's a lot of fun as well. So I really enjoy both.
Brooke Burns hosts new episodes of Motor City Masters every Tuesday on True TV, and see more right now at TrueTV.com. That does it for the podcast right now. We're back on the July 4th holiday, but in the meantime, keep up on pop culture 24/7 at GetThePointRadio.com and listen on your mobile device, Apple or Android, with a free app called iNet Radio. Get that in the App Store or with our friends at iNetRadio.com. The podcast is heard twice every week on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com and in the iTunes podcast directory, too. Are you following us on Twitter? Well, you should at The Point Radio. See you back here on the 4th.